Welcome to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. First, Happy New Year, obviously, to all our listeners. I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be alongside of Jay Randolph Jr. He's also known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and he's the main man at Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis. You want to play at Normandy? It's the oldest public club west of the Mississippi, and it is a great one. Just drop STL Golf Geek a note. And, Jay, before we start this 2020 version of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, I have to offer my condolences to the J.L. Lewis family on the passing of J.L. He was a pro's pro, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet, Jay, two-time winner on tour. I was with him when he won at John Deere back in 1999, and that was an opposite field event. And I remember we were standing on the 18th green. He had the winner's check in his hands, which, you know, that's the way they used to do it. And I said, boy, I had a pretty nice check there, JL. He said, well, that's not the important thing. I'm going to the Masters. And I had to say to him, well, JL, this is an opposite field event. You're not going on the strength of this. But a good guy, Jay. I don't know if you remember ever meeting him or not, but I know this much. You would have liked him, and he would have liked you.
I met him a couple of times, a really solid pro, consummate pros pro, and I think that's exactly how you would describe him. And a super player. And had a nice run. And Bob, you know, he also fought nine years with cancer and did all he could do to support the game and get the youngsters involved, adding to that consummate pros pro, a guy that gave back.
Yeah, and he loved golf. Actually worked for a short period of time out at the Austin Country Club under Harvey Penick. He calls that one of his great life experiences. J.L. Lewis, not with us anymore, he certainly will not be forgotten. All right, Jay, against all odds, somehow, some way, we made it into the next decade, only because someone has to do it, and we don't mind. We're here in Maui, the land of the sun, and let me just share with you a little bit about the experience this year, a little bit different in a couple of aspects. We got to stay down in Lahaina. It's a quaint little whaling village right on the sea, not too far from where the golf tournament is held.
Yep.
But in rapid order, I had a muffin and a cup of coffee served to me by a retired New York City police officer. She just wanted to get away from the rat race. She's selling coffee and muffins in Lahaina in Maui. Just an amazing thing. I applied for a job in Lahaina, did not get it. The sign said mermaids wanted. I went in. I said, I'm here for the mermaid position. They said, sorry, sir, not interested. And then probably the most unbelievable of all, having dinner in a restaurant on New Year's Eve, and the waitress, I inquired where she's from, and she tells me Indiana, and I said, what did you do in Indiana? She says, I was a coal miner for 20 years. I said, a coal miner? I've never met a coal miner, male or female. She said there were 526 coal miners working for her company, and she was the only female. She was a sheer delight. So that's in a span of a few hours, some of the strange things that I was greeted with as we kick off 2020.
Well, I've seen your smiling face on Facebook, and you're having a good time. You look like you're enjoying it, and I know you love it out there. And Lahaina's a little bit more of a upbeat situation than you'd find necessarily in those villas, so that's good for you.
It was good for me. Only drawback, the little hotel we stayed in, I had to bend down considerably in order to wash my hair. The shower head was about a foot below, about shoulder length. So, but hey, we got through it. We're excited here. 34 winners are in this field, Jay. 15 first-time winners, and all the first timers are here. I mean, that is great, I think.
Well, I think they've heard over the years about this event, the setting, the golf course, which we're going to talk about with a little reworking. Yeah, this is one you don't want to miss. It still stuns me, Bob, and I know it probably surprises you that the guys don't play here. But, you know, nowadays with the way the money is and the scheduling and all that stuff, and it is this year, especially with New Year's turning, you know, I don't know how you could never not play in this event if you qualify for it. It's fantastic. And as I've said before, if you have the wherewithal and you want to go to a PGA Tour event and be as close as you can get to the guys in a setting that is relaxed, this is the event to go to.
Yeah, it's, you know, unfortunate. We're missing Tiger. Brooks Koepka's knee is not ready. Rory McIlroy, who played here last year, opted not to come back. But besides all of that, this is a great event. And exciting news this week when Sentry, the sponsor that came aboard a couple of years back, found this tournament dovetailed with their business, which is business insurance. They're based in Wisconsin. They were so excited about the results over the first 2 years. They signed an extension yesterday for 10 more years of sponsoring this tournament of champions. That was great news for everybody here.
Well, and I'll tell you who else it was probably good news for, Bob, the folks at Wailea Country Club. Because I think probably without the double dip here, you know, back in the day up until the mid-90s, I guess, maybe even beyond, it was the Kapalua Invitational in what we knew as the silly season. But now that you've got these two events to start the calendar year and continue the PGA Tour schedule, I think they wouldn't probably do a one-and-done anymore to Hawaii. So I think it's a great venue. I'm looking forward to it because we got golf in prime time from beautiful Hawaii.
Yeah, the Sony Open, definitely a benefactor, a beneficiary of having a strong field here. And, of course, Mr. Hawaii, Mark Rolfing himself, he's going to be joining us a little later on the show. He'll give us some of the details about what they did to this golf course. Of course, Mark lives here and really is known as the voice of Hawaiian golf and a good guy and always willing to come on in the grill room. We'll be hearing from Mark a little later on in the show.
That should be fantastic. And the charity in Maui is immeasurable, provides scholarships, Bob, and other services directly to Maui. So as we always see, the PGA Tour giving back. And after with a break, we're going to talk about the 34 players in this TOC, the Tournament of Champions. But now it's time for Bob to talk about our official hotel partner of the Tournament of Champions, the Kapalua Villas on Maui.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Sentry Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees. We have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
C Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay, Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. You can find my man, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, at Bob Bubka VOG. And Bob and our executive producer, Janice, are enjoying their time in Hawaii. They're going to get to watch 34 champions play. Bob, the new plantation golf course. I say new, the altered plantation course. We do have seven of the top 10 in the FedEx Cup point list, led by Brendan Todd at this point, and 13 of the top 50. It's still a strong group of players.
Oh, it really is, Jay. Good point there. Xander Schauffele, he won the title last year. He had a stunning 62 to seal the deal on Sunday. He was asked, actually, in the media center this week, are there any more 62s out there? And he said, well, there might be, but anybody that posts one is certainly going to lap the field. He has a lot of respect for the added length and difficulty of this golf course. They've accomplished something here, Jay, which is truly remarkable. They have made it harder for the best players in the world and made it easier for the resort players that come here 51 weeks a year. Now, just think about that. That is extremely difficult to accomplish, where you make it a golf course harder for the best and easier for the casual golfer. Quite an accomplishment. Ben Crenshaw, Bill Coore, behind the scenes. They built the golf course originally. They've been here for a year working on it, and they came up with a winner.
Well, and I look forward to seeing it, because I've been lucky enough to be there and play that golf course. And anybody that's ever played any Tiger Woods video game stuff knows this golf course like the back of their hand as well. It's a golf course that's really that Bob was really fun to play. I'm just curious, you know, I mean, how much more difficult are you hearing from the players this course is?
Well, Dustin Johnson, who actually came over early, he came a week ago. He was the first to arrive on the scene. He had played the front nine when Mark Rolfing went up to him. We'll talk with Mark in a little bit, but Mark said to him, what do you think, Dustin? And Dustin's first words were, well, it's a lot harder than it used to be. And I think that's a ringing endorsement from somebody that certainly knows how to play the plantation course.
Well, and a guy that, you know, in a lot of cases, depending on where how the winds blow, the bombers have a real advantage, or had a real advantage on this golf course. I don't know that's going to be the same. You know, we're just off the President's Cup, Bob, and we've got eight President's Cup team members in the field: Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Kuchar, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Gary Woodland, and then Joaquin Niemann, the lone member of the international team from the President's Cup that's teeing it up. Another one of those first-timers, the 15 first-timers who's making the trip.
Yeah, interesting point about John Rahm. A fan said that he was talking to John on Wednesday and said, John, I'd like to follow you, you know, for 18 holes one day this week. John Rahm said, without batting an eyelash, why don't you plan on Sunday? I'll be in the last group.
Well, this is a big year for our man Rombo. And I say that because the expectations are so high. I mean, the feelings are this guy is one of the next to win a major. I mean, it certainly seems like it's setting up that way. He's now married. I think he has gotten the experience to where he has channeled his anger that he had on the golf course in a positive way. I'm not going to say that it's not going to fire up again at another time. I mean, he's a fiery player, and we've seen that with a lot of the Spaniards over the years. But, I mean, this is a huge year for Rom, and it was a huge finish with him winning, the winning in Dubai and winning all that. I mean, a lot of huge expectations, Bob, and I love the confidence.
Yeah, and I said to John, you still married? He said, Bob, I just got married 2 weeks ago. I said, I know, but I'm not going to get into that, John. best of luck to you. I did remind him that I was pretty good friends with Seve Ballesteros, and I said without any hesitation whatsoever, Seve would really be proud of John Rahm, the way he represents Spain, and just the way he plays the game.
Well, and you asked Justin Thomas, who is one of the favorites this week, from going from one of the young guys on tour to what it's like being a savvy veteran on tour.
It is crazy. I mean, I still think I'm very young. I mean, 26 years old, but in terms of guys that are out here, I'm definitely not the young one anymore, but it's cool. I mean, the tour is becoming younger. I mean, it was becoming younger when I first got out here, but I think this is my fifth or sixth year, and it is kind of nuts. I mean, how fast it's gone by, and I think when you don't have that time to that couple months to just kind of relax and do whatever, when it's just kind of bang, bang, bang from January to December, it goes by pretty fast.
There's Justin Thomas, and he's certainly not the youngest guy out here. Jay, you know this probably as well as anybody. Rookies used to take several years to get ready to win. Now they seem they come out on tour and they're ready to lift the trophy. Ben Crenshaw did it in his first event ever as a PGA Tour professional back in the 70s. So I asked 22-year-old Colin Morikawa, who had four top 10 finishes in 10 events played last year, earned $1,754,000. I asked what it was like for young guys coming out and how they are now ready to win. Colin had a good answer.
Yeah, I think, there's a few different reasons, right? You know, one, you see other players do it. You see guys, like for me, the person before us that, you know, got his card was probably Joaquin. You see him do it in those starts. You see guys, young guys win on the PGA Tour. So it gives you some sense of belief. You know, I'm sure what Matt, Victor, and I did this summer are going to change a lot of guys in college and how they view, you know, how they're going to go through college, how they're going to come out, what starts they're going to get, can they make something out of it. So that's obviously one part. I think another part is what we believe in ourselves. I mean, knowing Matt for a while, Victor for a handful of years now, it's just a lot of self-belief. We believe that we can do it no matter where we are. And then I think another point is, you know, college, I think college sets you up really well to, you know, succeed. You have everything in college. Like, looking back now, even though I've been out for a half a year, you know, everything is there for you to pretty much succeed as much as you want to. You obviously have to have luck on your side and everything, but you have the resources, you have the technology now these days, you have the team, you have the courses to practice at. And, you know, for me, getting those two PGA Tour starts before I turned pro were huge. I mean, I learned more in even missing a cut at the Safeway Open when I was, I think, in 2016, the fall of 2016, I learned more missing the cut than I did, you know, making the cut or finishing second in a playoff at the web.com, a few years ago. So I think for those guys, or for myself, I wanted to learn every single week, and I've been able to do that, and I still am.
Pretty level-headed guy there, Jay. He may want to work on that memory bank a little bit if he's struggling to remember way back when. And he says 6 months ago, wait till he gets in the boat you and I are riding in right now.
I agree with him on both points. I take it a step further. I think it starts at the junior level. I think when you look at what the American Junior Golf Association has done and their incredible growth, whether you like it or not, and their power in the junior game as it relates to getting kids recruited for college at the top level. And if you've ever been to one of those events, I mean, it's run like a tour event. I mean, these kids at 13, 14, 15 are getting treated or playing in environments that are very similar to the PGA Tour, except with the gallery. So I think we're going to see more of it. I mean, I think, you know, as the season goes by, Bob, we're going to be mentioning players as we get toward the summer. When things start to cool down and guys focus on the majors and other people get in, like Morikawa did last year, Matthew Wolf, Vic Hovland, it's a whole new ball game. Sebastian Munoz. I mean, it's phenomenal. It's a great thing that's going on. And you just wonder how, if the trend can continue. I mean, we got 15 first time winners.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. We got 13 of the top 50 in the world rankings. I'm set to catch up with Patrick Reed a little later on before his tee time. And I have some really good news for Patrick. I was standing off to the side when his pro-am group finished. And the three amateurs that were playing with Patrick Reed, each one went way out of their way, saying what a gentleman, how much he helped them, how much he entertained them. I mean, a real tip in the cap to Patrick Reed for doing that. And you know, players sometimes probably don't even get the, you know, impact that they're putting on people. Now, it costs a pretty penny to play in this. And if the pro can make the, you know, experience a delightful one, he's doing a lot of good for everybody.
Well, and it's a huge, you're right, Bob. It's a huge thing. You know, these pro-ams are not cheap. And the worst thing a tour pro can do in this day and age, I mean, they're better off taking a fine and not playing if they're not going to be right, because I don't care who you are. And you even see it when Tiger tees it up. He knows that it's the money that these people spend on pro-ams and sponsorships that makes the world go round. So they deserve to be treated as good as they can. And that's very refreshing to hear some positive things as it relates to Patrick Reed.
And one other thing of note, I saw, you know, he was the caddy for Zach Johnson for a long time, Damon Green. And we drove by the putting green, I think the first day we were here, and I said to Janice, I said, man, that looks just like Damon Green. And, you know, I know that he had parted ways with his latest bag, Ollie Snyder Jams. But yesterday we're standing in the caddy yard, which is where I love to hang out, and there is Damon Green. And he tells us that he's now on the bag for Sung Kang. And I said, Damon, you know, that kid's got a lot of potential. And Damon's happy to be on that bag. I think the combination, Jay, of a rookie, a young player like Sung Kang with his ability can really benefit from the, you know, sage advice from an experienced caddy like Damon Green.
You and I can point out exactly the way we believe Jimmy Johnson has made Justin Thomas the type of player and individual he is today. That's a perfect example of a guy, I think, getting the right horse on his bag, not just golf-wise, also life-wise, because, you know, a caddy is with a guy 6-7 hours a day, sometimes 8 hours a day. So I think that's a great move for Damon. Hated to see that he was no longer going to be working with Zach, but that's okay. That happens. Those things happen. And Damon and him had a hell of a run. And, you know, Damon probably, if he wanted to, if he had status, could play the damn Champions Tour, but it's too hard to get status. So he's still got to make a little dough, and Sun Kang will make him some dough this year.
And somebody else I ran into, a good friend out here for me, Kevin Kisner, you know, who won the match play last year. Of course, he has as his caddy a fellow by the name of Dwayne Bach, who grew up right next door to where I grew up on Long Island. And I said to Kevin, what do you think of the golf course? He said, it's too long for me. He says, but it's really long for Dwayne, my caddy. Dwayne has calves as big as my waist. So these hilly conditions really don't go into, you know, Dwayne Bach's favor. Hell of a player in his own right, Jay. Lest people forget, Dwayne Bach won the North-South at Pinehurst. I mean, that's a pretty big amateur tournament.
That's huge. That's huge, especially during the time that he won it. It's lost a little of its luster with all the tournaments that are out there now, but no question about it. And if you get a chance, Bob, say hello to the man from St. Louis, Adam Long, as he makes his first ever start there at Kapalua. It should be a fun week. 2020 is ushered in, and we're ready to go, as they say in Hawaii, with much aloha, but don't go anywhere. Because when we come back, the man who owns Hawaii Golf, Mr. Hawaii, Mark Rolfing, and Bob will chat and talk about the course changes and how great things are at Kapalua. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Coming back in the grill room, but this time, I have to be honest, the smile's a little bigger, there's a little more bounce in his step. I'm talking about Mark Rolfing, and of course I'm talking about the refinements, is the word that I've chosen to use, to the Kapalua Plantation Golf Course, site of the Century Tournament of Champions. First, congratulations, Mark. You and Ben Crenshaw, Bill Coore, got together, Are you happy with the end product?
I'm really happy. I think there's still some tweaks that need to be done. We're not really going to know how it's actually going to play till we see it under competitive situation. I think we're going to have a number of different kind of wind conditions this week. There could be some more rain for all we know. And I don't by any means think that this renovation or refinement is done. I think we will continue to tweak it as the years go on. But frankly, Bob, you know, the course is 30 years old. It needed some polishing. It needed some new grass. And fortunately, with Troon Golf and the great owner, Mr. Yanai, he said, let's do it right. And that's why you saw all the work that was done. And the goal was to try and create some more strategic situations for the players. And from what I've seen out there in the practice rounds, there's a lot of new strategic situations.
You know, Mark, it was really a huge commitment on behalf of Troon. They closed it down right after last year's event, didn't open until November, you know, gave up all those green fees, spent an enormous amount of money in the perfections. It seems like, you know, Troon said, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it right.
They did. It's interesting. We spent almost as much money doing the refinement as we did to build the original course, if you can imagine. That's how times have changed. And that's one of the issues, frankly, facing the game of golf today, that when you do restorations like this, they are just so expensive in today's world. And how does that end up making financial sense? That remains to be seen. But, you know, there were two goals here. One was for the best players in the world to make it harder, basically. Yet for 51 weeks a year in the average player like you and me to make it easier. And those are not necessarily complementary goals, make it harder for one group and easier for the other. So the way that we decided basically that it could best be done was to calm down the greens, soften them out a little bit, which if that was all you did, it would make it easier for the pros too. So we coupled that then with a new set of teeing areas and fairway bunkers and shifting some things around. And so hopefully we'll accomplish both things. From what I'm hearing from the players, it's harder. That's the first thing Dustin Johnson, he was the first one out here Friday morning last week, and I saw him on the fourth hole, and I said, what do you think? He said, you made it a lot harder. And I said, wow, how do you know? He goes, well, I just hit a driving 6-iron at number 3. Last year I had 50 yards in for my second shot on Sunday. So mission accomplished there for sure.
Mark Rolfing, a cherished guest in the grill room. Mark, one last thing. I know your time is very valuable. When I look at this field this year, and I see that every first-time winner has made the commitment to come play in this event, I know from experience, you also know from experience, if they come to Maui one time, they're going to come back for a lifetime if they're eligible. That's got to warm your heart that there seems to be a different mindset now. The younger guys think of this as, you know, an obligation, and they want to fulfill it, and they're fulfilling it in grand style.
You're right, Bob. This new group of kids is an amazing group, and I think, yes, once they do come, once they realize what a privilege and honor it is to be in a Century Tournament of Champions, it's an obligation they will fulfill. I'm disappointed in some of the players that aren't here. You know, a guy like Phil, I wish Phil would have come. You know, how many tournaments is he going to win going forward and actually be eligible for it? I would have loved to have seen Tiger. I thought this was a great opportunity for him, but I understand the difficulty of the travel, you know, on the heels of the President's Cup and all that. The Europeans down the line are going to have to make a decision. You know, so much of the meat of their schedule now is in January in the Middle East, and that makes it difficult for them coming all the way out here and then having to make a quick turnaround and go all the way back to the Middle East. I don't know, but I can tell you this, Bob. I think there's a day when this will be a do not miss, no matter what, for everybody, whether it's Europeans or Americans or anybody else, players from all over the world. The PGA Tour ought to have three events of theirs that are the best events. And they've got two of them right now. They got the Players and they got the Tour Championship. And to me, the Tournament of Champions ought to be in that same category. And I think the way to make it be in that same category, there's two things. One is find a great sponsor, and heaven knows we found a great one in Century. And the second is for the players who qualify for it to come and play and realize what an honor it is. And I think as time goes on, more and more you're going to see less players not coming.
Mark Ralphing said one of the reasons, because of the great distance. But I know for a fact, obviously you know for a fact, any player that's eligible here getting on a flight is not turning right when he gets into that aircraft. He's going left where the seats are pretty nice.
He's got his own plane, and he tells the pilot when he wants to take off.
Exactly. Mark Ralphing, congratulations. Job well done. Great field. All we can hope for is a great champion for our Century Tournament of Champions come Sunday. Always good to see you, my friend.
And thanks for 22 years of you being here, Bob.
I love every minute.
All right. Thanks, man.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.